today we're going to be looking at this series. This is the last week in our series, Worship in the Wilderness, that we've been looking at over the last 6 weeks. And this is Palm Sunday as we head into Holy Week leading up to Easter. But before we get into the message, which is based in Luke 19, if you'd like to turn there, although we've already had the reading in a different kind of form, the reading, an interactive one, where there was the people who were, shouting Hosanna, which means save us. And Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Yeehaw. Thank you, team. That's amazing. That's so good. I wonder what kind of car you might imagine Jesus to be driving. I don't know what you would imagine him to drive. We'll talk about that soon. But kids, I've got another question before we get into the message. Have you ever been in a situation that turned out quite differently than what you were expecting? You were planning on going somewhere, being somewhere, and you went there, but then it turned out to be quite different. It wasn't what you were expecting. It was a surprising thing. It might not have been a nice surprise. It might have been. I don't know what your story is. I want to share a story, kids, about a time when I did something a little bit naughty, a little bit cheeky, and something happened that turned out differently to how I was expecting. I think I was about 10 years old, and it was just before Christmas, and I was with my parents, mum and dad, and my siblings in a shop, and I knew that they were Christmas shopping. And at some point in the conversation, they said to me, Tim, why don't you go over to the other side of the shop and have a look at such and such a thing? And I knew that there was a secret code that meant that they were going to be looking for a present for me. And so I did something a little bit cheeky, a little bit naughty. Instead of going away, I went round the corner, around the aisle, and I found a place that I could actually peek through and see them and hear a little bit of what they were saying. And they were in the kind of like the sports section of the shop. And I saw them pointing up at this great big inflatable dinghy, this big yellow inflatable dinghy. And we had a pool at our house, and I was so excited. I heard my name and I heard them pointing, and I thought, I am going to get a big yellow inflatable dinghy for Christmas. I was so excited about it. It was so cool. So leading up to Christmas, I was really looking forward to this present. I was really looking forward to getting this big yellow inflatable dinghy. And we got to Christmas Day, and I was still excited. I was still sure this was what was gonna happen, because I had peeked through and I'd kind of got a glimpse of my parents pointing and saying my name, and I'd seen this thing. And then on Christmas Day, they have this gift, and it's this big gift that's wrapped up behind the tree. And I looked at it and thought, hang on a minute, that doesn't look big enough. It's not big enough to be the whole big inflatable one. Or maybe it's in a box and it's not blown up yet, but then it would be even smaller than what it was. And so I opened up the present, and it was a surfboard. And I was just a little bit confused. And where I actually wanted a surfboard, that's like, wow, that's really cool, but I was expecting something different. I got this gift, but it happened very differently to what I was expecting. And when there were crowds of people gathered, oh, you missed it. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. All of these ones that are gathered around to see Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and they've got a little bit of a glimpse of this great gift that God was going to bring humanity, that Jesus was going to come and bring salvation. They were looking forward with expectancy, and everyone was starting to say, hey, this is the moment. This is the moment where he's arrived. The Savior of the world has come. So they all gathered, all of the people. Hosanna! All of the people gathered around this wonderful moment where the Savior is going to enter into the streets of Jerusalem. And then, hang on a minute. Wait a minute, what is he riding? He's riding on a donkey. There's a piece of artwork that we'll be looking at. I think it's out in the foyer. And it talks about this upside down kingdom. Because the people were kind of expecting a Savior riding on a battle horse. Because the problem was that the Roman Empire, these oppressive people, are overpowering the people of God. And they thought that the Savior would come riding on a horse. But instead, wait a minute, there's a donkey. And it's a surprising moment. And so there's this mixed feelings here. On one sense, they recognize this moment. They recognize the significance. They're cheering and shouting, Hosanna. And they're taking these palm branches and laying them down, some kind of a red carpet moment for the entrance of the king. They're taking off their own cloaks and laying those down on the ground. And yet there's something that doesn't seem to quite add up. And maybe the people that were expecting that Jesus might roll up in a limousine, symbolizing fame and popularity in this red carpet moment, and this limousine would roll up and Jesus would turn up there. And some people were expecting that Jesus might come in a tank, a military tank with guns on it. And that would be the way the Savior would come to overthrow the Roman Empire with power and force. But he didn't. And then there were some people, that the religious leaders, that thought he might arrive in a Pope mobile with some kind of like sense of priestly arrival. But he didn't do that either. And then there was a bunch of people in the room, and they might have been expecting Jesus to come with the latest technology and kind of glide in this Tesla, with this kind of silent power and talk. And no, Jesus drives in a Toyota. It's like the most humble and basic thing. And it's like, wait a minute, wait. I get this. Jesus has done lots of miracles. He's the Savior of the world. We've heard his teaching. But hang on a minute. This is not how it's supposed to happen. We want our king to come our way. We want our king to come with power, with victory, with money and fame and all of those things. And Jesus comes on a donkey. Thank you. Glad you're listening. Sometimes we want a Savior to come our way. We've got a plan of how we want Jesus to come and to fix our situation and to make it better again. And Jesus does something surprising and different. This is the kind of king that he is. Now, this causes a bit of a stir, because the very same people who are one moment shouting Hosanna, which means save us, the next week, those same people, those same crowds are gathered in opposition, shouting out, kill him, crucify him. And I wonder what part of the crowd I might be. I wonder when I might be expecting a Savior to work in a particular way or things to look like something, but Jesus comes in a way that is different. And today, as we think about Palm Sunday and the arrival of our King, we need to recognize that the kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of our world. It's not measured in popularity or political power or presence. It's not measured in technology or fame or fortune, all of those things. There is an upside down kingdom. And this king came, and on his head was placed a crown of thorns instead of a crown of gold and jewels. It's a kingdom that is arriving, a kingdom that endures forever. A kingdom that is coming to us that has not yet fully arrived, but the pathway to this kingdom was one where Jesus chose suffering as a means to bring about the ultimate triumph. And we've been doing this little series, Worship in the Wilderness. And there are times where we go through wilderness experiences. There are times where we have hard things that are happening. And those wilderness experiences could make us feel as though God is not present. And yet there is an invitation that God is with us, walking through us with those difficult moments. That God is there. Thank you for the water. That God is there, turning those dry places into a place of springs and water. Thank you. That was awesome. Because God's presence changes things. We don't need to be in that place of dryness, barrenness, deadness forever. If there's some slides available, there's this surprising hope that the Old Testament offers when it points to Jesus with these prophetic words of Scripture about the Savior that would come. And in Isaiah 35, we've been looking at this worship in the wilderness series, but in Isaiah 35, we read these words, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness," could we go on to the next slide? "The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burned sand will become a pool. The thirsty ground, bubbling springs. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." These are prophetic words describing a kingdom that is coming. And yes, there is a wilderness, but there is also a promised land. And yes, there is a place of exile, but there's a return back home. And yes, Jesus went through this wilderness experience, but then he shows himself to be the Savior of the world. And yes, we are going through times of difficulty and suffering, but we have a hope. And it's not in a hope that's in an earthly kingdom. It's not in a hope of power or political presence. It's not a hope that that Jesus will come with force or might. But we have a hope in a Savior of the world who has already paid the price at the cross, who has already carried our burdens, who has already made a way for us into eternity. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? As the worship team comes up, I'm going to listen to a song. A song which is an item, the prophetic words being spoken, the words of that powerful message that Penny brought last week. As we look across the desert and the dry, dead bones and the Ezekiel passage, and there's this question, can these bones live again? And the response, only you know, Lord. And yet we see through this prophetic utterance of God's word that we heard about last week, we see the bones rattling, coming together, flesh coming upon them, new breath upon them, the army living again, breathing again, the people of God brought together, made whole and renewed. What a powerful picture that is. And who knew at the beginning of the year when we had planned out our preaching series, who knew that that would be the week just before we would be able to return in this particular way? Who knew that these are prophetic words that speak to every one of us who has this place of deadness or dryness or bones, and it's sort of like, God, can this thing breathe again? Can your church and our nation come alive again after what we've been through over this period of time? And God knows. And God is able to breathe life upon the bones in your heart, in my heart. God is able to bring us to a new place of restoration. God is able to turn the desert into a place of fruitfulness. God is able to bring every issue in your life where there is difficulty, that you may find his presence, and that even in those places we would find an unexpected Savior, an unexpected miracle-working King. Praise God. Next week, we're talking about Easter. We're talking about the death of Jesus and also the resurrection of Jesus, because our story is not just one about suffering. Our story is one about victory and triumph as well. Our next series after Easter is about resurrection people. What does it mean to be the people of God who carry the resurrection presence of God in our lives, the Holy Spirit enabling us, empowering us? May we move forward into a new place of victory and strength. May we know this in our own personal lives as well. And today we have placed these hard things at the foot of the cross. We need to continue to do that. Sometimes every day, sometimes multiple times a day, we need to take these things that are very painful and difficult and keep placing them in the right place, which is at the foot of Jesus. He's the one who can carry this burden, not any other person. But there is a place of exchange where we take on the life-giving power and presence of God. And so I'm going to invite you just during this next song. It's a song, I hope that we're able to put the lyrics on the screen and you can read along. It's not one to join in, but to let the words wash over you. And may these words become a prayer for you, a prayer for your family situation, a prayer for our nation, a prayer for our church, a prophetic prayer that God may breathe his life on us again. And after that, at the end of the service, we do want to provide an opportunity where we can pray for you individually if you would like prayer. We'll have a few notices at the very end, and there'll be other people who just want to get in and celebrate and connect with people, and we invite you to do that out in the cafe area as well. But in this moment, let's pray. Lord, would you speak to us with your fresh hope? Because Jesus, you are the one who rode into Jerusalem. And even you, though you came in a surprising way, your kingdom is different from an earthly kingdom. And we bring to you those areas of our life where we have had a particular hope or desire. We place that in your hands again. And we recognize you, Jesus, our Savior, the one who suffered and died and rose again and who is walking with us whatever we are going through. Lord, may you make these places come alive again. May you turn the desert into a flourishing garden once again. Amen.